Hello, guys. Welcome to the Sportscast. October 31st, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, or iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Appreciate it. Thank you. Alabama versus LSU. Some say it's the biggest game of the year in college football. And to join us to talk about it and preview this historic and biggest match that might determine who could be the best in the country is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here on a Halloween night, the biggest week of the college football season so far.
So, Justin, as you know, we were talking about earlier today and how everyone, actually Ryan Crystal was the first one to mention, I mean, watch out, LSU, Alabama, and Baton Rouge. Did you look at this game from, like, the beginning of the season?
I can't honestly say it, that I was looking at this game from the beginning of the season because going in, LSU really wasn't given a lot of hype. A lot of people didn't think they were going to get past Miami, and there's a lot of questions that were unanswered going in, especially at the quarterback position. However, as the games progressed and LSU began establishing themselves as a serious player, and not only the SEC, but the college football picture as a whole, I began to look at that matchup that we're about to be a part of more and more seriously.
Alabama and LSU, the key thing for LSU is his defense. Before its bye, the Tigers held high-powered Mississippi State, which scored 28 points against Texas A&M, to a microscope 59 yards passing and 3 points. It also inspired Georgia fans to call for Jake Fromm's benching, which seems absurd after the quarterback's play last weekend against Florida. Alabama's offense may be the best unit in college football, but LSU's defense is in discussion for second place.
Well, if you actually look at the numbers, LSU's defense has actually given up less points per game than Alabama. Not much. Alabama's defense is only allowing 15.9 points per game, whereas LSU is only allowing, I think, 15 points per game. So they're pretty much mirror images of each other. It was pretty impressive to see what they were able to do to Mississippi State. As you said, they're normally a high-powered run offense that very few teams have had success in stopping this year. Were able to do against Nick Fitzgerald was absolutely astounding. Had a quarterback rating of 9. And like you said, 50-something passing yards at best. Just completely disrupted that high-powered Bulldog offense, who only a week later just ran rampant over Texas A&M. So that says a lot about what LSU's been doing, not only against Mississippi State, but against every team they've played thus far in the season.
Of course, Alabama's defense is pretty good too, though overshadowed by the prolific offense. The Tide defense is surrendering just 118.3 rushing yards and 194.5 passing yards per game. That presents a particular intimidating challenge for LSU, which doesn't have an aerial attack of note. If Alabama is able to establish a lead in the second half of this game, the Tigers' game-managing quarterback Joe Burrow will have to do more than he's comfortable through the air. And that way, Alabama's offense has been so good that it's actually forced the hand of opposing offenses.
Absolutely. Joe Burrow thus far has passed for 1,544 yards and has 6 touchdowns through the air to just 3 interceptions. Joe Burrow is not going to amaze you when it comes to the stat sheet, but as you mentioned earlier, he's just a great game manager. And what he does best is he puts LSU in position to win and doesn't ever, I would say hardly ever, put them in a position to get beat. He makes very few mistakes, and it leaves the bulk of the offense to be carried by that tandem of Nick Brossette and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which have a combined great effort when it comes to rushing yards for that offense. Of course, they put it in their stellar defense's hands to finish it up. So they're going to have a tough time, I guess, matching Alabama point for point. But then on the flip side, Alabama's offense, as prolific as it is, has not yet faced a defense as monstrous as what LSU has boasting thus far. Then again, I guess we could also say LSU has not faced an offense like this before. Just an interesting stat of note, Alabama's has five wide receivers that are averaging at least 17.5 yards per catch apiece. That's not just one or two, that's five people. And that's going to present LSU with a hard task when it comes to facing them this Saturday. LSU's got a great defense, especially led by Greedy Williams, Devin White, Grant Delpit, and Jacob Phillips. The thing is, they're not having to slow down just one receiver, not two receivers, but five guys who are capable of taking a yard every time they touch the ball. Amazing stat, Jerry Jeudy is averaging over 20-plus yards per catch. This guy is absolutely amazing. But here's what's very important when it comes to this game right here. Field position. Well, a lot of people aren't really seeing because they're just enamored by the Tagovailoa air raid show. They're not seeing the struggles that Alabama is having in the punting game as well as the kicking game. Up until this past game against Tennessee, Alabama's punting woes have been just atrocious. But fortunately, because of how prolific the defense is and the offense is, we've been able to overcome the deficit there provided in the kicking game. And we've also gone against opponents that would allow us to do what we do. But not many people realize that, you know, we're going to be starting a walk-on punter again, Mike Bernier. I mean, he averaged 41 yards a punt in this past game, but here's the amazing stat there. He only punted twice. So, this is a big deal, and a lot of people aren't seeing this, and because they're just enamored by the big time offense that Tua and his crew of NFL receivers are providing. And as we know, Alabama still is just not reliable when it comes to kicking field goals. So this may be a factor going against LSU.
Now, Alabama averages 54 points a game. Do you think LSU should slow that down?
I think LSU, if anyone in the country right now, definitely has the capability and the talent to slow it down. Do I think Alabama can score 50 points against them? I would be surprised. I think Alabama's going to score 40 points against them. More believable, but again, I'd be surprised. Unless Alabama is just a more dominant force than what we're giving them, where I believe they're going to have a challenge against this LSU defense.
Between looking back at LSU's big games this year, between Auburn, Florida, Georgia, and also Mississippi State, which of those four games you think was the toughest for LSU? I mean, obviously, well, let's discard Florida because you could automatically say Florida, but you know, between Mississippi State,
no, I'm not going to say Florida at all. I'm going to say Georgia. The main reason being that after LSU suffered a loss to a Florida team they shouldn't have lost to, seeing how they were able to bounce back the very next week against the number two team in the country, not only beating them, but just flat out embarrassing them. That to me is just very impressive. And Georgia was the game because that's hard to get up for. You're going against the number two team in the country after you just suffered a loss to a Florida team that you shouldn't have lost to. Now, some might argue the Mississippi State game was hard for them, but I want to disregard that because LSU was coming off an emotional high, being the number two team in the country convincingly, and came in quite honestly flat. I mean, it's hard to get up for a Mississippi State team after after a big win just like that. But they were able to do just enough to get the win, shut down Mississippi State's offense, and go into their bye week unscathed.
Do you think, I mean, obviously Alabama, you know, is probably looking at that Georgia game, but obviously Alabama is greater than Georgia. I mean, like the talent, you know, differences is just major, you know. But, you know, this game, I mean, how do you see it? Do you think it'll be a 2-point game, 3-point game throughout? Do you think, you know, Alabama will just, you know, score 20 points and be ahead by 20? You know, how do you see it, you know, play it out, you know?
To be honest with you, I think it's going to be just a back-and-forth fight for the majority of the game. I don't see Alabama jumping ahead like they're accustomed to 14, 21, 28 points out the gate. This is a totally different animal, totally different team, unless we're proven wrong. I think that it's going to be a low-scoring affair throughout majority of the game. For those of you who are hoping to see an offensive battle, you're not going to see it in this game. If you're expecting that, I'm sorry, you're going to be bored. So it's going to be a slugfest, you know, back and forth. It's going to resemble an old-school 1950s football game.
You think there's more pressure? Do you think there's more pressure on Alabama than LSU?
Absolutely. Right now, this is a playoff game for both teams. LSU loses, they're done.
But you think so?
And if LSU loses and Alabama wins, Alabama controls the West. Even if they should drop one more game, they still would win the tiebreaker and still would have control. But they lose to LSU. Hey, here's the thing about that. Alabama's schedule right now is not strong enough to recover from that loss unless there's a major shakeup in the top five. What was looking out to be a quality win against Texas A&M has been diminished after they got beaten by Mississippi State the way they did. And the rest of the way, Mississippi State looks like a possibly quality win, but we don't know Mississippi State's going to finish this. Mississippi State has been very inconsistent this year. And then, of course, Auburn's a good team. It's always going to be a good game in the Iron Bowl. But Alabama really does have a lot to lose if they should fall to LSU in this game.
Let's say Alabama does lose. How big is the drop?
I don't think it's a big drop. I don't see them falling out of the top five. But I think the way back up is going to be hard. Certainly to get back into the SEC championship, LSU is going to have to lose two more times in order to do that, because even if LSU has a second loss, they still have the tiebreaker over Alabama. So it's going to be very hard for Alabama looking into the playoffs with a loss against LSU.
LSU does have a Texas A&M game at the end of the season. What do you think about that game?
Well, I had A&M business against that game was going to be more meaningful than what it's shaping out to be, and definitely would be more competitive. However, Texas A&M dropped a game they shouldn't, and that game's not holding as much weight. And I don't think, based on what I saw against Mississippi State, that A&M is going to pose much of a problem for LSU. Especially with the way Kellen Mond being it.
Yeah, it's definitely a do or die for both teams, to be honest. I mean, that's why he called a midseason playoff game, you know. And, you know, if Alabama loses, it's going to, you know, be very complicated. And if LSU loses, you're right, they could be out of this run.
Absolutely. So Alabama has got to go in with the playoff mentality. Wow, it's win or go home. Some may argue that with me. You know, go right ahead. But, you know, get rid of all doubt by going there and handling your business. And I think a lot of people are really not giving LSU as much credit as they should. I mean, the line is 14.5 points. I would not touch that for anything. I don't see Alabama have that much separation against LSU.
Yeah, that was a weird prediction.
Yeah, it absolutely is, especially being in Baton Rouge. It's just a very, very difficult thing. The thing is, in order to beat LSU, Alabama's going to have to play mistake-free football. And they're definitely going to have to win the field position battle. And when they have the opportunity to put LSU the way, they've got to do it. LSU makes their living. They're very opportunistic team. If you don't put them away when you're supposed to, they can come back and beat you. So they're a very, very dangerous team. You know, just ask Auburn and ask a couple other teams that faced them this year.
If the game was in Tuscaloosa, it'd be a whole different story. You know, everyone will say, yeah, Alabama will have that 14-point spread.
Well, I still wouldn't, you know, say 14.5 point spread. I would think Alabama would have a better time against them, but I still wouldn't give that spread.
You know, which I was saying, playing in Baton Rouge, it really evens the playing field. It really does.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I mean, it really gives LSU the edge.
Yeah. The last time Alabama beat LSU by more than 14.5 points in Baton Rouge was in 2002 when Nick Saban coached the Tigers. Can you believe that?
I do. I still remember that game very vividly. It was my my sophomore year at Alabama. And we were being coached by Dennis Franchione at that time. And what had set up to be a pretty difficult game for Alabama turned out to be an embarrassing blowout for LSU.
Since then, the Tide is 4-3 straight up at LSU and 3-3-3-1 against the spread.
Right. Well, you know, and it's always going to be a tough game. This is a big deal. Something's always on the line. And this could be the equivalent of a rivalry game. It doesn't get any bigger for both teams at this point in the season every year.
Yeah.
Both teams are always in contention.
This erases the Iron Bowl completely. I mean, Iron Bowl is going to look very small compared to this game.
Well, given the way Auburn's playing right now, it really does. The thing is, you really can't look at the Iron Bowl until you pass this game. This game is the mile marker for both teams each season. You can't look beyond that. I mean, whoever wins this game, I mean, you know, that determines the season. They're going to the playoffs. No questions asked, unless, you know, if LSU has a major downfall.
Let me read you the college football playoff rankings that were just released last night, and I want to hear your thoughts over it. Number one is Alabama, 2 Clemson, 3 Notre Dame, 4 LSU, 5 Michigan, 6 Georgia, Oklahoma goes 7th, then Ohio State, undefeated UCF, and Washington State. How do you see the top 10?
Just as it is, I completely agree with putting LSU ahead of Notre Dame because, quite frankly, Notre Dame has not beat anybody that's impressive. LSU has. As we say, week after week, LSU's got the best resume in the country. But to be honest with you, the playoff rankings at this point to me are absolutely useless. I think it's just a way for people to draw people in to ESPN and the rest of the media pundits to get ratings and get viewers.
Let me correct that. Sorry, audience. I was reading the AP poll, and Justin corrected me. This is the correct rankings from the college football playoffs that came out on October 30th, 2018. Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma. Washington State is eighth. Kentucky, and then Ohio State. Anyways, go on. Sorry about that, Justin. Finish your thought.
No, I was just saying, I'm not trying to go on a rant here, but these rankings are just useless. It's just for Sunday morning, talk after the big game on Saturday, or water cooler talk at the work. It really is useless until the week after, or the day after, all conference game championship games have been played.
Isn't Kentucky a basketball school?
I think last time I checked, they are, but apparently they're playing a little bit of football over there.
Number ninth. Well, let's go over some results of
crazy things are happening over there in Bluegrass State.
Yes. Let's review some results from last weekend. What were your thoughts over Georgia beating Florida 36-17?
Well, I was very impressed with Georgia. I thought that Georgia had the better team going in. And as I had said before, Florida is good, but they're not Florida good. And I didn't quite think they were ready to beat Georgia and take that next step back into the elite of college football. But Florida did have opportunities to win that game, and they were squandered, but in which Georgia took advantage of. And Georgia, being Georgia, a team that has been there, and a team that has polished, was able to dispose of them late in the game. So I'm not a bit surprised with it.
Also, Washington State is still winning big games. They beat Stanford 41-38. They're ranked eighth in the college football playoffs. Do you think they have a shot in getting into the top four?
Well, first of all, I have to give kudos to Washington State. I didn't believe in them. One usually doesn't expect them to win a big game like that, but they did. They beat a good Stanford team, and a Stanford team that was very physical. But Washington State at this point is the lone hope of the Pac-12. But to be honest with you, man, I really think they're going to need a lot of help to get to the college football playoff. And, of course, they can't lose. Every game right now for them is a playoff game.
Pretty much. And another big game that happened this big week in Oklahoma State beating Texas 30-35.
Man, after I gave Texas and their fans all that support and just hooping and hollering last week, come on, Hook'em, what happened here?
And people,
I guess Texas, and I'm not trying to be ugly. Let me go back. I guess Texas still isn't quite there yet. They're on their way, but they're not quite there yet. So I gotta give them a little bit of slack. I wanted them to win. I think Texas being good is good for college football. And plus, I just don't care for Oklahoma State. And I really want to see someone other than Oklahoma win the Big 12.
And Ohio State dropping towards the 10th spot. Are you surprised? You think that's a little bit too steep?
No, not really. I don't think they've really been challenged yet. And they got beat by middle-of-the-road Purdue team. And it really hurt them when Purdue turns around and lays an egg the following week after that big upset. So I think dropping in the team is justifiable. But the thing that's in Ohio State's favor is they still have a lot of ground to make up for. They still have a good enough schedule the rest of the way out, especially that big showdown against Michigan at the end of the season, and they win that. They go to the Big Ten championship. They win that. They're back in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Back to the LSU-Alabama match. What if either team, like how they won it like, one of the teams wins it in overtime by a point or three. Do you think the playoff committee will think, wow, this is, these two you know, I mean, these two teams are so good. I mean, they got to be in the conversation. What do you think about that hypothetical?
Well, absolutely. I think if it comes down to a situation like that, the playoff committee is not going to drastically drop the loser in this situation. You really can't. I mean, if you just edge out one of the best teams in the country, then I mean, the loser doesn't deserve to fall like that. So it's going to be some major weight for both those teams going forward from here. But Alabama still has to win this game to lock in that position for the SEC championship as well as the eventual playoff.
Yeah, I mean, what you were saying, Alabama needs it more than LSU.
Absolutely. Just because of strength of schedule and going forward, they really don't. They're not going to play anyone that's going to be as impressive as the teams that LSU has already beaten. And that's why I think them getting into the SEC championship game and winning is very, very important at this point.
Because LSU could be a strong 7-2 if they lose. I mean, like a really strong 7-2, meaning they could be above UCF still.
Well, everybody needs to be above UCF. UCF plays in the conference full of teams that we all play for homecoming. And
yeah.
My gosh, how much longer are we going to humor these people?
I mean, can they strengthen their schedule, or just because in the conference they're in, they can't do much?
Yeah. No, they can strengthen their schedule. They can absolutely strengthen their schedule. I understand they're in a conference and they can only play the conference games they're assigned. But, you know, they also have this wonderful thing called out-of-conference scheduling. They could go schedule in Oklahoma. They could go schedule in Ohio State. They could even schedule in Alabama that they said they're better than. So, yeah, it's very doable. Go ahead and do that. Boise State did, and they knocked off Giants. So if you think you can hang with the big boys, then pull up your big boy panties and do it.
We'll see what happens. UCF, I mean, was the same.
UCF is not a legitimate team in this conversation.
Yeah, it's a strength of schedule, like you said. But to be honest, Justin, if Alabama loses this weekend, I really do think they'll still be in the top four. Well, because what happened last year when they didn't
I think they'll be in the top four up until. Well, last year's different. I mean, they'll be in the top four probably up until the final selection date, and then you're probably going to have decision makers really battling with letting an Alabama team in that presumably will not go to the conference championship and not win the conference championship. And I think that the voters this year are going to have a harder time putting Alabama in without that championship appearance than last year.
It seems like you thought this through.
Well, Alabama's resume last year was a lot better than this year.
Yeah,
there's no question about that.
I remember last year, it came down to Ohio State's schedule. I remember where you were telling me that, you know, Iowa beat them or something like that.
Well, yeah, the reason Alabama was able to edge out Ohio State was because Ohio State suffered a horrible loss against the Iowa team, similar to what they suffered 2 weeks ago against Purdue, and they had no business losing that. So that's what kept them out and allowed Alabama to slide in.
Wow. Purdue Boilermakers. I have not heard from them in a while since my college roommate. He was a huge Purdue fan, and he was talking big things about it. And now, you know, knowing so much about college football, now I know, like, how weak of a school they are.
Well, I thought they stopped playing football after Drew Brees and Mike Allstott graduated.
Oh, right. He went there. Interesting.
But, well, apparently not.
Maybe that cycle will come through in 50 years. But are you ready for predictions?
I am ready.
Georgia at Kentucky. This is an interesting game. There's more weight now.
Absolutely. It's going to be labeled as the other big game of the weekend. This is the battle for the East. Winner goes to the SEC championship representing the East. The unfortunate thing is it's not quite as big as the game as what it looks like it is. Just because I think Georgia is far and away above Kentucky right now. I love what the Wildcats are doing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what's happening over there in the Bluegrass State. They've never experienced anything like this in a long time, maybe since Bear Bryant won a championship there back in the 50s. I'd have to look at the record books to really see when the last time Kentucky really had a team like this. Georgia is just a great, complete team. And it looks like they're still playing inspired and are just moving forward, picking up the scraps after they dropped that game to LSU. Fromm is still not need do anything that's going to wow or amaze you. The strength of the offense is found in the run game with Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift being the workhorse of the two, and 466 yards on the ground and 143 yards receiving, dual threat there. Just to show you how run dominant that team is, Riley Ridley leads all receivers with 374 yards and five touchdowns, which means they're really not putting the ball in the air a lot, which I'm really surprised at this point in Jake Fromm's career, which a lot of people right now are like you were saying earlier, asking for Justin Fields. I think they need to hold off a little bit. But Georgia does have talent at wide receiver. They're just not utilizing them. They have the best kicker in the nation in Rodrigo Blankenship. I think the guy could close his eyes and nail a field goal anywhere on the field. Now Kentucky on the other side, they boast one of the better defenses in the SEC. That's what really carries them. They have one of the top running backs in the SEC and the nation, and Benny Snell, who's being predicted to go quite high in this upcoming draft. Now, here's the big difference maker, and that's Kentucky quarterback Terry Wilson. He's a great athlete. He is just not doing a whole lot as a quarterback. Only 988 yards passing, has 406 yards rushing, and just really a one-dimensional offense. And that's just going to be really hard for them to do against this Georgia defense. I think with Georgia having the more complete team, even though they're more run heavy, they're still more complete than Kentucky. And I think that Georgia's going to win this quite handily late in the game.
Do you think Georgia still has some life for the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. They are still a champion. And they realize that they're not done. But every game from this point on is a playoff game for them. You know, they win this game, they go to this SEC championship, but they still have to win every game after that, you know, to get to the college football playoff.
You can't lose in college football. Let's just say that. West Virginia at Texas.
No, you can't. Well, this should have been a marquee matchup. However, because of the results that both teams have produced for us these past few weeks, it's lost its luster. Does Texas bounce back? Does Texas show a little resolve? Do they get a little offended because of dropping that game against Oklahoma State? Or do they kind of retreat a little bit because they didn't get it done? That's a good question. We'll see how it plays out. Neither team really boasts a great defense, but I think the edge goes to West Virginia with Will Grier in that passing attack. So I'm going to go with West Virginia in this game.
West Virginia, wow. West Virginia wins. Michigan at Penn State.
Crazy Big 12 right now. tell you that Big 12 West is just all kind of crazy.
Don't talk crazy on me.
It's huge. It is crazy because my gosh, look what happened last week, man. I mean, Iowa dropped the game against the Penn State, and then Northwestern upended Wisconsin. It's just like, what in the world's going on? Anyway, big game. Michigan has to win this game to continue their bid for the Big Ten championship game, as well as a slot in the college football playoffs. For Michigan, as we said with so many other teams, is a playoff game for them. Every game from this point on, they have to win to still get in. Shea Patterson seems to be getting in his groove right now. The real stud of that team is Caron Higdon, 831 yards and 6 touchdowns rushing. Michigan is really playing better ball right now, playing better defensively. I think Penn State's probably going to give them some fits. Now, I think this is going to be a close game, but I like Michigan in this game, which is going to set up a big showdown against Ohio State later.
This should be a big one. Missouri at Florida.
This is a marquee game you pick out.
Hey, it's, you know, Missouri used to be good, and Florida, you know, it's Ryan Kirsten's favorite team, so I like to bring up these, you know, these little wild card games.
Well, I think for Florida, this is a very important game. They didn't get the win against Georgia. We get that, but Florida still has a lot to play for this season. They have the opportunity to play for a New Year's Day Bowl, and a very good one at that. And they still, I feel like they had the better team than Missouri right now. Missouri still doesn't quite have it all together offensively. They've been pretty banged up. I'm not sure how their wide receiver situation is looking right now, especially with all the injuries that those guys have sustained. They lost in the last seconds to Kentucky, a very good Kentucky team. Still got Drew Locke, which is going to be a factor in this game. But I really want to see where Florida's resolve is at this point. So I want to go with them because I still think they have a lot to play for. So I feel like they should come out fired up, and I feel like they'll take this game.
Florida it is. UCLA at Oregon.
If Oregon doesn't win this game, they need to close up shop. UCLA is, I don't know what Chip Kelly's got going on over there. It's not football. I still think that Oregon does have something to play for. Surprising loss last week against Arizona. I didn't expect that by any stretch of the imagination. Arizona is a very athletic team, but didn't think that they had what it took to beat Oregon, but they did. So Oregon still has a lot to play for the rest of the season, and I just kind of wonder what kind of effort they're going to put towards a struggling UCLA team. Are they going to come out fired up, or are they just going to come out so-so and do just enough to get by? Not really sure, but I do want to go with Oregon in this game.
Oregon comes back after two heavy losses. And finally, the biggest game of the week, the biggest game of the college football season, regular season, Alabama at LSU.
Man, I've been dreading it. I can say the word dreading this game ever since we got past Tennessee, man, just because, you know, just the uncertainty of playing against a team like LSU thus far in our season. Yeah, we've done some pretty amazing things this year, some things that no Alabama fan has probably seen in their lifetime. I think it's safe to say that. But Alabama is going to be measured by this game the entire season. I've been going back and forth with it. And like I said earlier, the biggest thing here is Alabama is going to have to put LSU away early, and they're going to have to put LSU away when they have the opportunities. They got to capitalize on each of them. Alabama's going to have to play mistake-free football. They can't give LSU any kind of life. Because, like I said, LSU is one of those crazy teams that if you let hang around, it can end up being bad for you. If Alabama is able to manage field position and dominate time the field possession, as well as when they have to punt, you know, they get off good punts and pin LSU deep and allow their defense to take over, I think it puts them in good shape. But there is still a huge advantage I keep looking at as I've been studying this game this week, and that's the Alabama wide receivers against the LSU defense. There are five wide receivers, which I'll go ahead and say Irv Smith Jr., even though he's a tight end, is a wide receiver that are playing like first-round draft picks. Like I said before, the classics for Alabama and LSU. And I want to say late in the game, Tua Tagovailoa will play four quarters. And we will see Jalen Hurts in different positions. But I think this is a game where Tua Tagovailoa gets another knot in Alabama history as a legend and is able to pull the tide to victory over their greatest opponent thus far and earning a spot in the SEC championship.
Wow. And what's the score?
Don't do that to me, man.
Will be a overtime win?
It could quite possibly be. I mean, it's very common for this game. I think Alabama is going to win 28-17.
Yeah, it's going to be a low scoring game. I'm going to make things a little bit interesting here. I'm going to say LSU is going to win 24-18.
I'm going to hang up this phone now.
No, actually, no. It'll be 24. let's go like 24-20, something like that. I think that would be a low-scoring game. I think LSU might squeeze it out. It's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. But I think LSU is going to play hard defense. Defense wins championships. We'll find out this weekend if it does. Justin?
Hey, I lost you there for a second. Oh, what's going on? If you wouldn't mind being so kind as to repeat what you just said, I lost you.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to re-listen to the podcast. I'm kidding. No, what I said was,
okay.
We'll find out this weekend if defense really wins championships, because I think he'll come to the test this weekend.
Absolutely. And if it's a close game and it comes down to kicking, LSU has got the stronger kicker. We've got a phenomenal story. If you have not yet had opportunity to read about him, you know, definitely go back and do that. But he definitely is the better kicker of the two. Sorry, Alabama. I just really hadn't seen enough positive things coming out of the kicking game yet. I mean, you know, we have a top five recruiting class every freaking year, but somehow that just blows my mind. However, we're not going to go on that tangent, but it's going to be a tough game either way. And to pick a winner in this game is just absolutely gut-wrenching because it's hard to do.
Having a kicker is a necessary evil, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, man. Defense wins championships, but kickers can too.
Yeah, kickers is that little fine detail that you need in your team that will – get you over. Adam Vinatieri did it. Jason Elam, Janikowski. You know, these players that come in the clutch, they're as important as quarterbacks at times where you need them to score those final points to tie the game or win the game. You need them.
Absolutely.
LSU, it could come down to a kick. We'll see.
Right.
And to end tonight, what's your thoughts about AHA Clinton Dix being traded to the Redskins?
Man, a trade from left field that I don't think any one of us saw. I think the Redskins are definitely the winners in this situation. They are, as to an already pretty dang good defense. Matter of fact, majority of the defense is comprised of Alabama players. That's pretty amazing. For the Packers, you're kind of sitting there and asking the question, why? It doesn't make any sense for them. But for Ha-Ha, this is great for him. I think he's one of the better safeties in the game right now. Some may argue that. Even Packer fans may argue that. I mean, the guy's a Pro Bowl safety. But very reliable. Just a very good player. Someone you can count on. And being in Washington, he's not going to have to do everything himself. He's going to have help. And I think you're really going to see what Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is capable of, because he's not going to have to carry the load. So it's going to be interesting. And like I said, Washington is definitely the winners in the situation.
Yeah, that should be very interesting to see where it goes with Washington. They have an Alabama defense. So it should help them, not hurt them. And with Adrian Peterson doing so well, like the old Adrian Peterson we're seeing, it's going to be a quite interesting thing in the NFC, where the LA Rams are dominating the NFC and the NFL. So, but yeah, big week,
right.
Big game this weekend. LSU, Alabama at LSU, 8 p.m. Eastern. It'll be on CBS live. I'll be watching it all night. I think this might be my first college game where I'll see it. I mean, where I see a full late night game. I usually fall asleep around 9 or 10 o'clock, but this one's gonna be very interesting. I'll be on the edge of my seat. Where will you be at?
I'm gonna be on the edge of my seat too, man. It's hard not to be whenever Alabama and LSU tangle, man. You really can't breathe easy until that clock hits zero.
I'll be going to a restaurant to watch it. I just can't watch at home, or else I'll fall asleep. So I got to have a good,
I understand,
a good meal,
and I might be, I might be tuning in to the Alabama football radio app provided by none other than you, because in big games like this, I really don't want to hear the commentators on CBS, namely Gary Danielson. So I might opt for Eli Gold.
Turn down the TV volume. Get the app. Put the radio up on full volume and just listen to the game and the excitement. Eli Gold never fails. And Justin, how can people reach you? How can people follow you during the game? Things like
that. All right. Well, I got to make this quick. Email me, 121Training, number 12, onespelledouttraining@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at 121Training. Look me up on Facebook, /121Training. Hit me up.
Justin Riley, thanks for coming onto the Sportscast, guys. Thanks for watching it.
All right, man. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.